Today, as we look at the book of Deuteronomy, I hope to be able to answer a couple of questions for you. One, I want to tell you this. I don't like calling the two parts of our Bible the Old Testament and the New Testament. I know that's traditionally what they've been called through the ages, but I don't like calling them that because it fosters the idea for some folks that we've got a new thing and we don't need the old anymore. So I like calling it the Hebrew Bible and the Greek Scriptures, because the Old Testament is written mainly in Hebrew, and it was passed down to us through the Hebrew children. And I'm thankful that they preserved it and saved it and passed it on to us in a way that we can have it. Because the truth is, without the Hebrew Scriptures, there's a whole lot of the New Testament or the Greek Scriptures that we would never understand. And I know there's a number of folks that kind of say, well, you know, we've got this New Testament thing. Let's put the old away and let's not look at it anymore. I developed an incredible love in my first year of seminary for the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures. I am so thankful for the professor that I had for that class, because he developed within us a great, great love for those Scriptures and what is there and what we can learn from where and what we can glean from there. Now, some of you may say this was not right on him, but he wouldn't even let us in class talk about Jesus Christ. He said, we're going to talk about these Scriptures as though we were the people that originally received them, and Jesus Christ is not here yet. Do these Scriptures have meaning to us? And his point was that the Scriptures had meaning to the people who first received them without ever talking about Jesus Christ. And that what we needed to understand was the meaning that we could find there before we jumped to talking about Jesus Christ. It's not that he didn't believe in Jesus Christ or want us to ever talk about Jesus Christ, but he wanted us to understand these Scriptures in a way that they had great meaning to us as though we had just received them and we were those people that had just received them. This Scripture that we're going to read today and talk about today, for me, answers a question that many folks may say, nah, we don't need that. We happen to talk about this same Scripture in Sunday school today, and I asked them, do we need prophets today? If everybody has access to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is our teacher, our guider, our instructor, our advocate, the comforter, the one who lifts us up, and all of us have that equal access to God through the Holy Spirit, do we need prophets? Do we need prophets anymore? And I'm kind of hoping that I could answer that question today for you. Deuteronomy chapter 18, starting in verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. This is Moses speaking. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die. The Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death. You see, the people saw God at Mount Sinai. This is two names for the same mountain. Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, same mountain, different names. And as the people saw God there, this is the place where Moses received the Ten Commandments. As they saw God there, they said, oh, let us not see God again, or we might die. So Moses was the one who would go and speak with God for them and come and share with them what God had to say. You see, in this passage, the whole book of Deuteronomy is thought to be maybe one, two, or three final sermons of Moses. They're getting ready to go into the promised land, and the people that are standing before him are not the people who were there 40 years ago. Not the same people. Those people have died. And Moses is reminding them of everything that happened and what God had to say about it. So the book of Deuteronomy is Moses' last words to the people before he dies and before they go into the promised land. And he's telling them, I'm not going to be with you. That God will raise up another prophet to speak God's words. God will raise up another prophet. Here's what I want you to understand. God is the one who takes the initiative to raise up a spokesperson. This is not a volunteer position. This is not something that you volunteer for. And if you read the stories of the prophets, you will find out they really didn't want to do it a lot of times. Jonah being our most favorite one, who did not want to be a prophet. Jonah designed a way to get the furthest place from where he was supposed to go when God said, go and speak. You see, God takes the initiative and God raises up a prophet. A prophet is not a volunteer position. Because that prophet's relationship with God must be deep enough for them to hear what God's saying. And here's what I want you to speak to the people. Those of you that have been coming on Wednesday night, as we've been looking slowly through the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah has even long sections where he says, oh God, why did you pick me to be a prophet? I really don't want to do this anymore. And Jeremiah even says, cursed be the day that someone came and told my dad he has a son. I wish I had never been born. But Jeremiah continues to live his job as a prophet. Now I want you to understand something. Prophets do not speak just about the far future. When we talk about prophets sometimes, we talk about those prophets that predicted Jesus Christ coming. We talk about some of the prophets that predict the end of the world. And by the way, maybe you've heard about some of those people in our world talking about the end of the world, and every one of them so far has been wrong. We'll talk about that here in a minute. A prophet speaks for God. That's what a prophet is. And a prophet's prophecy, a prophet's words, may be for this specific moment, not necessarily hundreds of years in the future. Don't limit a prophet to talking about the far, far off future. That prophet could be talking about things right now that need to be happening. A prophet is God's spokesperson that God picked out and said, here, I want you to share this story. That's what a prophet is. Now, this practice of a prophet began because the people were afraid to listen to God on their own. I want you to think about it. Mount Sinai. God comes down on the top of the mountain. It says that there's fire and there's smoke and there's all kinds of stuff going on. And the people are afraid to face God. Now, if God were to come down and speak to you, might you step back a little bit? And the people said, this is fearful. We're scared of this. And God says, okay, you're right. Let me raise up someone who can sit in my presence and then share the words that I want to be shared with the people. Okay? It happened because people were afraid to listen to God on their own. What might happen? The greatest idea in the Hebrew Scriptures is that if I am in the presence of God, I am going to die. Because I'm not worthy to be there. That's the idea in the Hebrew Scriptures. If I am in the presence of God, think about Isaiah. He's calling in Isaiah chapter 6. He's caught up into the heavens and he sees God. And what does he say? Oh, woe is me, because I am a man of unclean lips and I live among a nation of unclean people. What he's saying is, I'm not worthy enough to be here and I'm going to die. I just know it. That's the idea of all of Hebrew Scripture. If I see God, I'm going to die. Now, the prophet was the one that was raised up so that he could speak, or she could speak, God's words. Now, this idea of being in God's presence isn't any different today in dying. This is a fear people still have, even though they want to hear a clear word from God. This is a fear that people still have. I've had many people throughout my whole ministry tell me, if God would just tell me face to face, in a clear sentence, what God wants me to do, it would be so much easier. And I'm willing to say, if God were to come down right here, right now, in an incredibly visible way, and speak those words to each one of us, how many of you are going to hide under the pew? I think a great number of you will. Because the awesomeness of God's presence in its entirety, in its fullness, would be scary. I mean, God is so holy, God is so powerful, God is all, and for God to come down, yeah, I want to hear detailed, God, but send me a book. Oh, wait a minute, he already did that. God, send me a sign. The sign of the cross is already here. God, tell me what you want me to do very specifically. Not through the equipping team when they keep coming to me and telling me I need to do something on one of the teams in the church. Not that way. You see, we set up all kinds of things. If God were to come right down, I think, even though I've been walking close with God through many, many years now, I still think I'd be scared a little bit. If God were actually present in a powerful, enormous way. Because God is so awesome, it would be overwhelming. It would overwhelm your senses. I mean, what does the Apostle John say when he's caught up into heaven? The brightness of God is so much that he can't even see the details of God. All he sees is a bright light. He can't see the details. Daniel, when he's caught up in the presence of God, the same thing. He talks about being able to see the form of a man that was incredibly bright. Just not being able to give all the details. I think there would be some fear for it still. I mean, I'm thankful that God still speaks. I'm thankful that God talks to us and God puts upon our hearts things that we need to know. But the fullness of God, right here, that might be a little much. And this was one of the reasons that prophets were set up. You see, these prophets will speak God's words, not their own words. The prophets will speak God's words, not their own words. And this scripture says that therefore we must listen. We must listen. These are not the prophets' words. If you've been there on Wednesday night as we've studied through Jeremiah, you know that. He's tired of giving out God's words. I mean, so far he's been put in stocks. He's been beaten. We haven't got to the part of the book of Jeremiah where he's going to be thrown in a well and hopefully forgotten, everybody thinks, for speaking God's words, not his own. Not his own. Isaiah is called to be a prophet, and he says, oh Lord, what do you want me to do? And God says, I want you to go out and talk to a bunch of people that won't listen to you and that won't take it to heart. And Isaiah says, how long do I have to do that? And God says, forever. Wow, that's not a job to sign up for, do you think? Some of the other prophets are called from one country to another country. Where I grew up in, well, not where I grew up, but where we were in South Hill for a number of years, there's quite a bit of joking back and forth between the people that live in South Hill, Mecklenburg County, and the people that live in Henderson and Vance and Granville County, right there below the state line. Because you know, and I know, Glenn, I'm sorry. I'm going to apologize ahead of time. From where we were living, they talked about people from North Carolina weren't all there. And you go to North Carolina, and those people talk about people from Virginia. They're not all there, you know? And it was kind of a back and forth. I'm not saying anything against you, Glenn. I hope you understand. It's just one of those things was kind of a back and forth. So Amos, one of the prophets, is called from a nation to go to another nation that don't like that nation. It'd be like somebody coming from Virginia going to North Carolina and telling them how they got to get things straight. How well would that be received? Probably not at all, right, Glenna? They're just not going to. That person from Virginia don't know nothing. They don't understand what it means to live in North Carolina. And Amos was a prophet who was called from one country to another that they didn't trust and told to speak God's words. Well, the question comes down, how will we know whether the prophet's right, really a prophet or not? And the scripture answers that for us. It says, we will know the prophet to be God's when the words come to pass and by their lifestyle. Now, see, if you just think about prophecy as somewhere off in the far future, that prophets only speak for the far, far off future, how will we ever know whether they told the truth or not? You see, prophets sometimes speak to this day. And when what doesn't come to pass that they said is going to come to pass, then they're not a true prophet. It's that simple. We've had a few people in the past 5 and 10 years to let us know exactly when the end of the world's going to be, haven't we? And I'd just love to listen to them. I love to listen to what they say. On this date is going to be the end of the world. And when that date passes, what do they say? Well, I went back and I refigured what I had figured out, and I got it wrong because of this, but now this is the real date. And then when that date passes, oh, I forgot to take this into account and this into account, and now here's the real date when the world's going to pass. Oh, I wasn't talking about the world passing. I was talking about it was going to begin to start to pass. Folks, if you even turn them on and continue to listen to them, I'm sorry. Because they already proved more than once they're not real prophets. They already proved that. They should get no more ear from us. And the media shouldn't listen to them either, but the media loves to pick that up and bring it about. over and over and over again. I'm surprised I haven't heard anything yet for the moon on the 31st of this month. Because it's a blood moon. It's a blue moon. It's a lunar eclipse. Oh, gosh, it must be the end of the world then. February 1st, I'll see y'all. You see, a prophet speaks God's words, not their own. We must listen to them. Do we still need prophets today? Oh, most definitely. It's not something that's passé. It's not something that's Old Testament. It's something we still need today. And why do we need it today? Because some of us are scared to sit down and talk with God about things. Some of us are scared for what God might say to us. We talked about it in Sunday school. God might ask me to do something I don't want to do. God might ask me to do something out of my comfort zone. Let me just settle something for you. If God's only going to ask you to do something in your comfort zone, I'm not sure you know God. Because God is about doing big and awesome things. God is about doing impossible things. God is about doing things farther past anything than we can do. So I will guarantee you, when God talks to you, God's going to talk to you about doing something outside of your comfort zone. It's going to happen. That's where God lives, and that's where God works. That's where God touches people's hearts. And when God shares with you to go and talk to an individual about Jesus Christ, God has already prepared that person before you come. It's not all on you. God's just asked you to take a piece of that. When God presents before you someone who needs some help, God is asking you to partake in the help for them. God is speaking to you. Why do we need prophets? Because sometimes we don't want to listen to some of those things that God has to say to us. And we need prophets to come to us and tell us the truth and tell us right straight out. You know, it's not that God wants everybody in church on Sunday mornings. Whoops, did the pastor say that? You know what God wants? God wants everybody outside the walls of this church being the church. That's what God wants. It's not that God wants everybody to attend worship service on Sunday. God wants God's people to be outside the walls of the church, loving people that don't deserve to be loved, helping people who, gosh, if they had made better decisions, they wouldn't be in the position they're in. God wants us to help those people. God wants us to help people that have a broken heart, that don't know how to put it back together. God wants us to help families that don't have a way. God wants us out there amongst the people who hurt. That's where God wants us. And when we help the hurting folks, they'll show up here. They'll show up here when we help the hurting folks. And my opinion is, if they don't show up here, but they show up at another church, that's still fantastic. Because I want them to go to a church where they feel comfortable, where they're learning, where they're growing. And that's why we got so many different kinds of churches. Because some people learn and grow in different situations. And that's okay. When I started my ministry at Tabernacle in 1999, I told them, I will never be a salesperson for the church. I'm all about helping people get closer to a relationship with God. And however that works out, whether it means they go to the Presbyterian Church or to the Methodist Church, or they go to the Episcopal or the Catholic Church or the Christian Church or the Lutheran Church. All that matters is that they're working on their relationship with God. I'm not the salesman for the church that I happen to be pastor of. I want to help people grow in their relationship with God. And you see, sometimes we need prophets that are willing to speak strong words that we need to hear. I can remember taking my preaching class in seminary. And some of the people's concern was, you know, I get so nervous when I'm in front of folks. And Dr. Charles Bug gave us a piece of advice that will always be good. Always. Dr. Bug told us, if you stand up to speak for God and you're not nervous about that, then you got a problem. If you stand up to speak what God wants shared, and that doesn't make you scared, you got a problem. Because sometimes God wants to speak to folks about what needs to be done. And you have met that many times before. I've heard it at the door. Wow, Pastor, you really stepped on their toes today. And I want to look down and go, what about yours? It's funny how we always hear the sermon for somebody else, isn't it? When we speak for God, it should be scary. We need prophets. And I know of some in my life that just came right out and said a word. A word that I wasn't sure I was ready to hear yet. Two or three of them said it to me a few years ago, about 3 years ago. Well, you've been there how long at the church you're at? It's time for you to move. They didn't know anything about me, and they didn't know anything about the church. Two or three different people did that. And when they did that, I had to pause for a minute. And I had to say, is this God speaking? Are these people being prophets? Is this God speaking? And I came to the conclusion it was. Folks, we still need prophets today. We still need to hear God through other folks. So I'm going to ask you, are you willing to listen to God as God speaks through another person? Are you willing to listen to God as God speaks through another person? Let's pray. Lord, this following you and being your people, wow, what a hard thing that is. But yet, Lord, you have done so much to make it easier for us, to make it simpler. And yet sometimes we still stand back and question. We still stand back and wonder. So, Lord, please, help us to understand that no matter how old the words are in Scripture, it's still a design that you put together to help us walk with you. So as we hear prophets around us, may we test their words. May we look at them. May we wonder, are those actually words from you? And if they are, what steps must I take? Lord, please, help us not to miss your prophets and help us to hear the words that you give them very clearly for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.